Blog Talk Radio.
And this morning, we have a friend. He was with us in our Easter celebration, and he's here with us this morning. He has product in the vestibule immediately following service. But I would like you to give a good West Angeles welcome to none other than, all the way from Nashville, Tennessee, Pastor Wes Morgan.
God bless you. Any worshipers in the building today? Touch your neighbor and say, I choose to worship. Hallelujah. For so long, I was silent. For so long, I did not have a song of praise. Depression filled my days, and clouds blocked my way. But there was a voice speaking to me, waking the passion so quiet in me, in me. It was so still in me, but I made up my mind.
I choose to worship.
I had to make up in my mind. I had too much good stuff inside of me. Just give up.
I just can't give up.
No, 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 no. Anybody feel that way this morning? Lift up those hands and just tell him, I want the world to know my mind is made up. Yes, it is. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. And is that your voice? Come on, say it. I just can't give up. I don't know what you might be going through this morning, but you gotta make up in your mind. I choose the words of you, Lord. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Lord, my mind is so made up. Anybody in here that's ever been an addict before, but I just celebrated 11 years clean from crack cocaine. I know what it's like to be trying to be something that you just can't be. I didn't ask for this addiction. I was born into this sinful nature, but somehow I needed God to turn it around for me. And I remember the last time I was in jail, I said, God, if you get me out of this situation, I promise I'll do whatever you tell me to do. Whatever you need me to do, I'll do it. I went home and moved in with my mom and dad because old drug dealers and stuff would ride by the house to catch me outside. Late over in the midnight hour, I'd get up and I would have the taste of crack cocaine in my mouth. I could just taste it. I was craving it. So I'd start walking the floor. Because my mama told me you got to choose to worship. After you choose and make the choice, then the feeling will come. But you can't wait on the feeling. You got to be able to worship him when you don't feel nothing. When you can't trace him, you got to keep on trusting him. I don't know who I'm talking to in here today, but I'm a living witness. If you keep on blessing his name in spite of what you're going through, I'm a living witness that he'll bring you out. Yes, he will. He's healing me. If you know that he's healing you right now, lift up those hands. Just tell it, I'm gonna worship.
I'm gonna worship.
See, you can't appreciate freedom unless you've ever been bound before. That's why God is doing some things with some people that we discarded because we looked at what they were going through and what they were doing. But we didn't realize that God was raising them up. Because when you've been through hell and high water, when you come back to Jesus, you don't need red carpets rolled out for you. Because you're just glad to be here. Ain't everybody like Beyonce. We didn't just wake up like this. I'm going to work. Ooh, yeah. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. For it's morning by morning, new mercies I see. I love this right here. And all I have needed, thy hands, they have provided. I feel like looking back over my life sometimes and see if he's brought me from there. Look at somebody and say, I don't believe he left me here, y'all. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's worse. That's worse than a flag. That's worse. A worship, that's a worship of praise. Wow, I don't know about you, but I was really feeling that one. That one touched me. That one hit the gut. That one shook me. That one almost knocked me out the chair. That one, that's a, when you, I don't know about anybody else, but when you hear genuine worship, it puts you in a place right there. It just sucks you right into that place of worship where you just forget about what you're doing and everything else around you. You just almost shut the show down. I was there in the name of Jesus. But I thank God that he chose me and gave me this assignment. And I thank God that he allowed me to be a worshiper of him, that he put worship in my spirit, that he put worship on my tongue and worship in my heart for him. And only him when it comes to worship. Amen. This is your Fix It 6, and I am your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. And I'd like to thank you all for joining us on another beautiful Monday. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Lord is still moving, and the Lord is still real. Amen. Let's open up with a word of just thanksgiving. Amen. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we love you and need you and desire more of you. We thank you for your mighty move on the day. We thank you for your hidden treasures. We thank you for the path that you're walking with us. We thank you for holding our hands and guiding us through the deep seas of the darkness and those traps that the enemy has set before us. We thank you for holding our hands and guiding us and walking with us, keeping us in your perfect peace and keeping us in your perfect care. We love you. We need you. And Father, we just ask you to bless those that are less fortunate on today, God. Those who might can't get up and just praise you and worship you the way they want to. But if they pat their feet, if they hum, if their spirit is connected with you, we ask you to bring them through in the mighty name of Jesus. We have said this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to just add a little something before we get into our word on this evening. It will connect. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I just was doing a study this morning, and I was in the midst of my study, and I just wanted to really, that early morning, I'm learning that early morning study, that 4, 5, 3, 2, 1 o'clock study is the most, oh my God, it's so beautiful. And in the midst of doing my study, something came across my desk, and it's just something for us. It's no judgment, nothing. It's just for something for all of us to take heed and ask ourselves and just wonder, and just, commune it with yourself. Amen. And I'll be coming this particular scripture will be in the book of Mark, amen, and it'll be in chapter 1, and I'll start at verse 40, amen, glory to God. And I'll be reading this out of the NLT, amen, glory to God. Chapter 1 of book Mark, chapter 1, verse 40, amen. Hallelujah. It said, a man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean, he said. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said, be healed. Instantly, the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. And I just want to stop right there. And the question I have for all of us, when is the last time someone sought us out to do miraculous things in their life? When the last time someone sought you out for a divine prayer? Someone sought you out to have overnight prayer with them? Someone sought you out to lay hands on them and deliver them from whatever their disease or whatever their illnesses or whatever it may have been? When was the last time you went out to preach somewhere and you came back in a community, you found out that people was all over your house, people was in front of your door waiting for you? And I thought about when I was growing up how when a person was sick or in need, they ran to the church or they called the pastor, and the pastor and the preacher was right there. The church was right there. The women of God was right there. The prayer warriors was right there. Amen. Hallelujah. When was the last time? Do anybody know you like that? In your community, do they know you? Just something to ask yourself and think about, myself included. Amen. Glory to God. Like I said, it will correspond with what we're going to get into. And what we're going to get into is the book of Matthew. And we're going to start at chapter 7, verse 23. Amen. And we're going to discuss what Jesus meant when he said, I never knew you. Depart from me. Amen. Glory to God. The book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 23. And I'm going to read this one from the King James Version. Amen. Hallelujah. Chapter 7, verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me that work in iniquity. Amen. And if you go up further to chapter 22, verse 22, it says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me. That is amazing how I don't ever want to hear that from Jesus. I don't, that always, even when I read it in personal time and private time, that always did something to me, because I don't like to use the word fear, but I said, Lord, please, whatever you do, don't tell me that. Amen. Because Jesus said, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. It seems strange to hear our all-kind, our all-loving and our all-knowing Lord say there's something or someone that he doesn't know. Because Jesus refers not to an intellectual knowledge here, but to a relationship, a relational knowledge. And to understand that verse, always start with the context, because Jesus is wrapping up his sermon on the mountain with a final warning about true faith. Amen. Jesus predicts that false Christian prophets will be coming as wolves in sheep clothing. And if you don't believe me, if you go to chapter 7, go down to verse 15, amen, say, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, amen, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Ain't that something? Raving wolves. They may use all the right God talk and even make impressive displays of power, but they will not belong to the Lord. We have to be so careful. We get so caught up in going to church and around people who they prophesy and they speak in tongues and they say this and they say that, and we marvel of the things they're doing. But do we ever try to check the spirit to see if the spirit is of God before we, I'm joining that church. Oh, I can't wait to be on that ministry. Oh, my God. And you had these people touching you and praying over you and laying hands on you and speaking over your life and touching your children and baptizing your children, baptizing you. And all along, there's a possibility that they're just wolves in sheep clothing. They're imposters, traitors, trying to bring down the kingdom. That's why Jesus wants us to study. That's why Jesus wants us to know his voice. My sheep know my voice. We cannot get caught up in all the hoopla and the smoke and the many crosses and many chairs and all the big band. No, we got to know the power and the spirit and to know it's coming from the true and living God. Amen. Because not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. We got to get back to knowing God's will before we can do God's will. How can you do God's will if you don't know what his will is? If you don't know what his will is for your life, you don't know what his will for your ministry. He don't know what the will for your family. Do he want you to work? Do he have plans for you? Is he have plans for you wealthy, your wealth financially? You don't even take the time. Let me say this right. We got to get to the point where we start taking the time, seeking God's voice, waiting for a response, waiting for an answer, and waiting for directions from Christ God. Because once you start praying in detail, once you build that relationship with God, no imposter can in your spirit, because you know God's voice. I don't care how many tongues I got, how much power I got, how many hands I done laid on people, how many people I done healed. If I'm a infiltrator, God is not going to allow my voice to connect to your spirit to do you harm or to let harm come to you if you've been seeking God and you know God's plan for your life. Because, see, I can come to you right now and say, listen, the Lord say, go up the street. There's a building right there. Don't worry about it. Go take out a loan, get the building, and open up a church. But just a few days ago, you said God told you to wait. So if God say wait, then all of a sudden he tells you this. See, we got to understand and get to the point, stop doing what we want to do or trying to do what our desires are or what we think God's will is, and know God's will before we sabotage ourselves. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And the Bible says, Jesus said, then I will tell them plainly. You ain't going to beat around the bush. Straightforward. I never knew you. Oh, get away from me, you evildoer. Ain't that something? Can you picture that? That you done went through your life doing all these things and you know you wasn't doing them in Jesus' name. You had your own agenda. You was getting your own glory. You was boosting yourself up. You was making a name for you. You haven't prayed. You haven't fasted. You haven't laid before the Lord. You haven't read a book. You haven't studied. But you know the word. And we got to be careful. Because people know the word don't mean they of Christ. Because remember, the devil know the word. Amen. Hallelujah. Because in Jesus' words on judgment day, we see that several important truths. It's not a verbal claim to one follows Jesus that saves. Normal Christianity can't save. Also, it's not a demonstration of spiritual insight or power that saves. And we found that up if you go to verse 22. Amen. Just to back it up with Bible, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? We got to be, it's right there in the Bible. Amen. A person can seem like a Christian in the eyes of other people, but yet still be an evildoer in God's sight and sent away from his presence. And that's what verse 23 says. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Wow. Depart from me, ye that work in iniquity. Whew. That's harsh to me. I can't even, listen, I don't even try to think of Jesus saying that to me. I can't even, listen, Lord, or what do you want me? Listen, I'm waiting on you. I'm trusting in you. I'm not moving until you say move. Amen. I know sometimes it's a hard place when you're going through and you have needs and your body may be aching and you have lack and that God just been promising and promising and promising. You've been praying and praying. And he said, I got you, my daughter. I got you, my son. And we say that one thing. But when? Get up. Listen, we got to get to a place. You know, First Lady is really, really, she deserves so, as an apostle, as a pastor, I'm not talking about as my wife. That's separate. But I'm talking about as an apostle, as a pastor, as a teacher, as a woman of God. A lot of times we have conversations, you know, she say little things and she don't know that some of the little things she is saying is connecting to some of the questions that I have, and I haven't asked anyone, but I've talked to God about them, and to know that it's his way of answering me through her. See, those people that are close to you and that's of God, listen to them, because God uses them to give you answers. God uses them to drop nuggets. And it's, if you listen, you'll hear the God in them. Stop looking at the messenger and get the message. Amen. And, you know, I'm blessed to say as my shepherd that I'm honored to have her, because God, a couple years ago, she had to realize that she had her church, the people in her church, cure your people. I'll never forget the look on her face. She asked the question, and almost everybody's hand was raised. And the question was, how many of you that's in here now have been arrested or did time in jail? And everybody's hand went up. It takes a strong man or woman of God to shepherd people like that. Some people still in leadership will look down on ex-offenders, look down on ex-drug addicts. But those are the people that Jesus wants to use to build his kingdom and to do his work. I can't never understand how leaders and people in the pulpit, oh, I don't want them kind of people in my church. I don't want them kind of, they start too much. You ain't no perfect church as long as you in there, because there's nothing perfect about you. But I thought about that, and I think about that on a lot of times, that it takes a strong individual to minister, to teach, to pray for, to lead, and to lead them to Christ, and then see the fruit. When then you start raising up deacons and deaconesses and ministers and pastors and choir leaders and prayer warriors, you start seeing the fruit, and you start seeing all the foul, dirty, nasty things fall off of them, and you start seeing the light. And that's only because of the sacrifices the shepherd makes during fasting and praying and going before the Lord. Lord, how do I break this? How do I teach this? How do I bring those walls down? Because, you know, some of them still stubborn. Some of them set in some ways. So that takes a lot. And everybody can't minister to that kind of, I can't forget this word. It's right on, it begins with C. Anyway, thank you, Jesus. Jesus will bring it to me. Wow, that's crazy. But everybody can't have congregation. Thank you, Lord. Everybody cannot minister to that kind of congregation. Everybody cannot preach and teach to that congregation, raise that congregation. We had prayer nights. And I remember times when she would say at the service, listen here, get prepared because starting Tuesday, we're having all-night prayer. Get prepared because starting Friday, we're going to fast for 8 days. Get prepared because y'all coming up before the Lord and you're going to preach and you're going to teach and you're going to read, you're going to sing. But she could only do that if she went before the Lord and the Lord said they're ready. They're ready. Because there was no judgment in her heart when there was an error, when a word was pronounced incorrectly or we stuttered or you know, we was nervous. No, because I know that God knows what kind of people we are. You got street people. You got low down, get down, dirty to the ground type people. So she has a ministry of peculiar people, and there's only certain people can lead them kind of people. So I really take my hat off to her as my leader, as my shepherd, because I know it's not easy, amen. And because she teaches us the battlefields of the mind, and she teaches us to, you know, stop getting caught up in prophecy this and running to the prophet, dead prophet, get in your Bible, read, pray, seek God for yourself. So the teachings, she's not leading us away. She's not leading us astray. She's not leading us to sin. You know what I mean? She's giving us sound doctrine. She's following it up with sound doctrine. She's taking the steps, communion, baptism. Bible say take. And those are the things and the qualities and the things you look for in a leader. Not the familiarity, oh, that's my homie, we was there, I'm so glad to see you preaching, I'm coming down. Yeah, but I might be preaching a little too harsh for you and you might can't take that. Or I might teach a little harsh and you can't take that. Or you might not even take criticism. Or if I ask you to stay and clean up, that's beneath me. Whoa, slow down. We are here to serve. And that was one of the nuggets she gave me today. Amen. Glory to God. I know it all fits in, and we have to say these things to remind ourselves who we're under. Open up your spiritual eyes, because now we got to know how to pray for them. We got to know how to fast for them. Strengthen them, oh Lord. Keep using them, Lord. Keep a hedge of protection around them, Lord. Oh Lord, bless them, Lord, with more wealth, more understanding, more wisdom, more knowledge, more truth of you. So I could be a better Christian man, or I could be a better Christian lady. So I can help teach my family. I can help reach out to my community. I can help reach out to my neighbor, because it's still about the souls. Amen. In Jesus' words on Judgment Day, we see several important truths. It's not a verbal claim that one follows Jesus that saves. Amen. Remember that. So what is the Father's will? Well, some men came to Jesus once with a question about what God required of them. They asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? And Jesus answered, the works of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Because sometimes we just take Jesus right out. We go right past Jesus. The Bible says no man gets through the Father but through the Son. Amen. And we go right past Jesus, but he just, listen, we have to believe in the one. Okay, I got scripture to back it up. Go to the book of John with me, please, chapter 6. Hallelujah. Chapter 6, and we're going to go to 28 and 29. Hallelujah. Because I want to use Bible, because that's how I was taught. Amen. I love our pastor. Amen. Glory to God. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work for the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Who? Now, I'm not trying to put our shepherds in Jesus' footsteps, but we have to trust and believe that they're knowing and they're hearing from Christ. Because if God has put them in a place and sent them to lead us, teach us, and show us how, I know the Bible is talking about Jesus, but guess what? If Jesus is in them, we got to follow the trust and believe in the Jesus that's in them. Amen. The Bible says that this, the work of God, that ye believe on him who he has sent. So if God sent Apostle Callum McNeil to Mount Carmel International Church and I became a member, that means he sent her there to teach, guide, show, and lead me to him. Jesus and her just lead me, not her. Amen. She's just the vessel being used. And we got to remember that. Stop bucking against your leader. Stop going up and saying, oh, I'm tired of this. They think they know everything. I know the same scriptures they know. But you ain't got no power. You have no wisdom or no understanding, because if you did, you wouldn't behave like that. Where is the humility? Where is the patience? Where is the, you know, just calm down? Because remember just a few hours ago where you was at. Calm down. Just a few weeks ago what poll you was on. Calm down. Just remember a few months ago what crack house you was in. Calm down. A few days ago what penitentiary you was in. Calm down. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God wants us to have faith in his son. This is his command, to believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. 1 John. I just want to back it up with scripture. Amen. 1 John. Hallelujah. Chapter 3, verse 23. Hallelujah. Jesus. I'm going in with you. I'm going in with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, there's nothing like you, Jesus. There's no one like you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't know why my Bible trying to be sticky all of a sudden. My pages ain't never been like this. Hallelujah. Okay. What did I say? 1 John chapter 3. Why is my Bible so stinky? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please wait. I'm near y'all. Chapter 3, verse 23. Yes, chapter 3. Ooh, verse 23. Hallelujah. And the Bible reads, and this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. As he gave us commandment is what we should be doing. Amen. He gave us, that's a command. That ain't something the pastors make up or the deacons or whoever teaching it that day make up. That's the Bible. That's the word. Hallelujah. That's a commandment. Amen. And I just want us to listen. If you stop reading your Bible for a while or for whatever reasons, get back into your word. Take an hour, 2 hours a day. Get back into your word. Believe me, at this time in our lives, in this world, believe me, we have to get back in our word. Amen. Write these scriptures down if you have to. If you want me to read them over, I will. Amen. Glory to God. But get into your word. Amen. Hallelujah. Because those who are born again by faith, Christ will produce good works to the glory of God. And that's in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Amen. Hallelujah. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Hallelujah. We're going to have a song and we're going to come right back. Amen. Glory to God. Just something to really for us to think about and just remember. that God is standing by us. Amen.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to MCI Ministry Radio. This is our announcements. On Sunday morning at 9 a.m., you will be on the air with no other than the one and only, amen, Apostle Carolyn McNeil. On Monday night at 6 p.m., your fix at 6 with Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. On Tuesday night, Bishop Thurman A. Butler, Undisputed Truth Ministries, at 6 p.m. On Wednesday night, Weekly Word Workout with Lady T, Undisputed Truth Ministry, at 6 p.m. Also, don't forget about Friday night. Friday is Fresh Fire Friday, the blowing of the shofar. You get praise and you get worship songs. And Pastor Matthew McNeil also brings a refreshing word, Fresh Friday Fruit. You don't want to miss none of these days. We thank God for you, you and you. And if you like to be a blessing to the ministry, you may do so or sponsor. You can reach us. Our ministry phone number is 302-883-9799. Also, if you'd like to contact us, you can also reach us at mci2621@yahoo.com. For all prayer requests, you can dial 302-883-9799, text or call, or use our email address. We thank God for you, you and you. May you have a blessed and wonderful day. God bless you all. Jesus loves you, and so do we.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. There you have our weekly announcements, amen, by Dr. Carolyn McNeil, amen. Hallelujah, we thank God for her, amen, and her busy schedule and all that she does for the show, amen. Back to our lesson. Those who are born again by faith in Christ will produce good works to the glory of God, amen. And that's, like I said, let's go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. And verse 10, because I never want to say things that I can't back up with the word, amen. Now, you know, in the world, they always say, if you can't say nothing nice, don't say nothing at all. Well, the word is one of the nicest things that we can share with someone, amen. So there's never should be a problem with sharing the word, amen. Hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah. Ephesians. Hallelujah. Chapter 2, verses 10. And my Bible, I got to, for some reason, amen. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto God, works which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. That we should walk in them. God ordained them that we should walk in them. Amen. Glory to God. When Jesus said, I never knew you, to the friend's disciples, he meant that he never recognized them as his true disciples or his friends. He never had anything in common with them, nor approved of them. They were no relationship of his. And that sounds kind of hard. Huh? What do you mean you don't know them? And Mark chapter 3, verses 34 reads, and he looked around about on them which sat about him and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. So as long as you're doing the will of God, the will of God, not your will, not my will, let God's wills be done. As long as we're doing the will of God, we are his brothers with his children. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Christ did not dwell in their hearts. And the book of Ephesians chapter 3:17. Hi, amen. Let's go there because I need to back it up. I need to back it up. Amen. I need to back it up. Hallelujah. The book of Ephesians. Amen. Glory. God has been so good. Chapter 3, verse 17. And it reads, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. And if I go up to 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Amen. Hallelujah. Nor did they have his mind. Oh, we got scripture to back it up. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Amen. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Yes. Let me get you the whole thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. If you want to go with me, if not, I'll get there and I'll drop the package off for you. Amen. I'm like Amazon right now. I'll go pick it up and bring it back. DoorDash. I'll bring it back. Hallelujah. Don't even worry about it. The Lord is going to use me to deliver it to you. Hallelujah. And I'm going to start at verse 15. If any man work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Yet so as by fire, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Do you know that? It's a question mark there. Do you know that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Which means, which temple are you? Amen. Hallelujah. Did I read the right one? Hallelujah. I was right. 1 Corinthians. Oh, I read the 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. Sorry, please forgive me. From whom have known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. For whom have known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? Question. But we have the mind of Christ. My pages are so sticky. Oh, please forgive me, Lord. Hallelujah. Ah, thank you, Jesus, anyway. Hallelujah. In all these ways and more, Jesus never knew them. Note that Jesus is not breaking off the relationship here, but there was never a relationship to break off. Because despite their high-sounding words and the showy displays of religion and all the things they performed and the loud prayers, and they had no intimacy with Christ. So it turns out that what matters isn't so much that we know God on some level, but that God knows us. Because Paul explained, whoever loves God is known by God. And that's in 1 Corinthians 8:3. And I'm going to make sure once again, because I don't want nobody to say, he told me that, and it wasn't even that. 1 Corinthians. Yes, I think it's 1 Corinthians 8, chapter 3. Okay. Hallelujah. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God. Wow. This is good in all these ways and more. Jesus never knew them. Wow, that's crazy. So it turns out that what matters isn't so much that we know God, but that God knows us. The Lord tends his flock like a shepherd, the book of Isaiah 40:11, and he knows who are his sheep. If we want to, we got time, we can go there real quick. Book of Isaiah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The book of Isaiah. And I said that was chapter 40. Yes. Because I want to back it up. Hallelujah. Chapter 40, verses 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather their lambs with his arm and carry them bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Gently lead. Gently lead. Hallelujah. Gently lead. Amen. He knows who his sheep is. And if you go to the book of John in chapter 10 and verse 14, verse 14, it says, "And I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and I am known of mine. My sheep know me. I know them, and they know me. I know them, and they know me." So ain't no infiltrating popping off. Ain't no undercurrent stuff going on. They know me. They know my power. They know my word is my bond. They know the things I say I do. They know I love them unconditionally. They know I'm not going to backstab them. They know I'm not going to lead them astray. They know that I am not going to do anything but love and serve and lead them to that place of peace and understanding in me. Oh, glory to your name, God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God. And those somber words, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work in iniquity." King James Version. It shows that Jesus is indeed a little reminiscent. He did not know them in the sense he would if they were his followers. See, you know your followers. Apostle know her children. She know her deacons, she know her ministers, she know her pastors, she know her praise and worship leaders, she know her armor bearer, she knows what they do, she knows them, she knows the character of them, she knows their weaknesses, she knows their strength, she knows if they're deceptive. Because one thing we keep forgetting, when you try to deceive the shepherd, believe me, God has already informed them of the deception. God has already informed them that you're coming with deception. God has already informed them that you're going to lie this week. You're not going to pay your tithes. You're going to go to casino. You're going to go to AC, but you're going to be deceptive. So stop trying to pull the wool over your leader's eyes, because that's like lying to Christ. Amen. I know I'm not going to get all this done. It's not really a lot left. But I'll read through it and give you scripture if you want the scriptures and you want to take them home and study them or pass them on to someone and study them. Amen. Hallelujah. Wow. He would if they were his followers, but he know their heart. They were full of iniquity. Isaiah's condemnation of hypocrisy fits this group well. These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Isaiah 29:13. The evildoers whom Jesus does not know are fake Christians, false teachers, and normal adherent religious folk. Those who are bid depart from the presence of the Lord will not partake of the blessings of the kingdom. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic, arts, the sexual immoral, the murderer, the adulterer, and even and everyone who loves and practice falsehood. Book of Revelation chapter 22:15. They will be cast into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 8:12. Those fake Christians whom Jesus say he never knew will not produce the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23. Rather, they will produce the opposite, the works of the flesh. Galatians 5:19-21. Jesus warns that one day he will tell a group of religious practitioners, I never knew you. God takes no delight in sending people to hell. 2 Peter 3:9. But those who are told to depart have rejected God's eternal purpose and plan for their lives. Luke 7:30. They have spurned the light of the gospel. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Choosing the darkness instead, at the judgment, they try to justify themselves as worthy of heaven on the basis of their works, prophecies, exorcisms, miracles, etc. But no one will be justified by his own works. Check up Galatians 2:16. While claiming to do all these good works in Christ's name, they fail to do the only work of God that counts, to have faith in the one who sent. And that's the book of John 6:29. And so Jesus, the righteous judge, condemns them to eternal separation from him. Don't let Jesus condemn you and separate yourself and separate you from him. Obey his commandments. Know him. Get to know him. Trust him. Believe in him. Have faith in him. Praise him. Worship him. Trust and believe in him. Obey his commands. Obey what he tells you. Seek him. Get to know him. Oh, he's a marvelous, wonderful, great person. He will love you like you've never been loved before. Oh, he will do miracles upon miracles in your life. He will change your hard place to a soft spot. He will turn your darkness to the most radiant, beautiful light. He will give you essence of I can't even describe the smell of this beautiful essence of Christ. He's wonderful. He's marvelous in all his ways. Don't be fooled. Don't be tricked. Don't be delusional. Don't let your anger get in the way. Don't let your flesh tell you you don't need him. Don't let your mind, don't let the tricks of the enemy tell you you don't need Christ. The devil is a liar. He's the author of lies. He don't know how to tell the truth, and the truth is not in him. Trust. God is a deliverer. Pray him. Pray to him. Worship him. And he will heal whatever is bothering you. He will heal those broken things. He is the Alpha and Omega, the truth, the way, and the light. He's Christ all by himself. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to play a song. I want to thank you for being a part of Your Fix at Six this day. We glorify the Lord, and we thank him for you. And we pray that he just keep you in his perfect care and his perfect peace. And if you strayed away, find your way back home. He's waiting with open arms. Amen. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your assignment. We thank you for trusting and believing in us. We thank you for giving us another chance. And we ask you, Father, to forgive us. If there's anything that we said, done, thought of that was unpleasing to you, we ask you to forgive us. We confess our sins over to you right now, God. We confess them to you. Please be gentle on us. Please forgive us, because we are yours, God, and we come to you surrendering our sins unto you, knowing that we are being forgiven. So, Father, because you are great and mighty and loving and caring in all your ways, we thank you, we worship you, and we praise you on this day. And, Father, as you direct our path, teach us how to follow, teach us how to listen, teach us how to speak like you, God. Teach us how to be winners and not losers. Teach us to continue to be the lender and not the borrower. Teach us to be the head and not the tail. We shall not surrender. We'll continue to move forward in you. And we trust and believe that you have our way, that you're going to direct our path, and you're going to keep us in your perfect peace. We say that prayer in Jesus' name. We love you, and we trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.